This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Another day, another hike at the pump.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The national average for gasoline has been rising all week. AAA figures another penny a gallon increase over the past day to ring in at nearly $3.79 nationwide. That's 39 cents higher than a month ago. Average price for premium, $4.17. And how does $4.45 a gallon sound? Not good at all if you drive a truck these days, because that's the new national average for diesel fuel. Refiners are reported to be putting more focus on turning out diesel because it's more profitable. Diesel is up 56% over the last year, compared to a 20% rise in gasoline. It's not hard to imagine the theft of fuel is on the rise. We're talking gas siphoning from the tanks of parked cars. As Jeremy Hobson reports, that newly popular crime is sparking another boom.
If you want to do something unethical, there's no better place to be than K Street in Washington, D.C. So I'm just going to walk over to a gas tank of a random car here, open it up, unscrew the lid, and bam, free gas.
The fact that it was so easy for me to do that is what has Americans worried about the increasingly valuable liquid investments in the tanks of their cars. So they're heading to the auto parts store in search of a $20 locking gas cap. You need a separate key to open it. Chris Hoffman represents a company called Stant, one of the nation's largest gas cap manufacturers.
Sales over the last few months have just been growing like crazy for locking gas caps. As gas prices go up, sales go up.
Hoffman says sales are almost three times what they were a year ago. So maybe somebody is happy that the national average for a gallon of gas is now almost $3.78. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A temporary pullback in oil prices helped fuel a Wall Street rally that added 94 points to the Dow, a gain of almost 0.75%. The Nasdaq muscled up almost 1.5%. The S&P 500 gained 1%. Those easing oil prices didn't last long, by the way. This morning, the stock market will be contending with the news the cost of crude is back on the rise. The recent cyclone in Myanmar wiped out more than 10% of that country's total rice production. The planting season has already started there, and if farmers don't get new seeds into the ground soon, the devastated country could suffer even more from a serious food shortage. Lisa Chow reports.
The Burmese eat more rice than the Vietnamese, the Thais. In fact, their monthly average is about triple that of other Asians. So with the recent storm wiping out so many rice fields, this means trouble. Diedrich de Vleeschauer is with the UN Food and Agricultural Organization. He says poor farmers in the region don't have the money to buy new seeds. But without this harvest, he says, Myanmar could face food shortages through 2009.
The time is running out. We are running against the clock. Rice seeds need to be received in the area within the next 40 to 50 days. Otherwise, there will not be any planting and there will not be any rice harvest later in the year.
He says Myanmar could go from being a rice exporter to a rice importer this year. And this could create more stress on an already strained global food market. Rice prices have soared recently, up about 20% since January. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
The toy department at Macy's won't be the Macy's toy department soon. Macy's is planning to incorporate FAO Schwartz toy shops at over 680 Macy's locations. The toy seller will lease the floor space and pay Macy's a percentage of sales. Both stores benefit from the deal. FAO Schwartz will raise its profile while pulling in parents to shop at Macy's. The two retailers aren't wasting any time. They plan to have the toy shops up and running in about 275 stores by this fall, just in time for the holiday season. The rest will open within the next 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Bush wrapped up his visit to Israel today. He was there to celebrate the State of Israel's 60th birthday. Also there to mark the occasion, a Jerusalem Conference of Jewish Innovators. Among them, Nobel laureates, world-class artists and scientists, and the founders of Google and Yahoo. Which begs the question, why are there so many of them? Reporter Daniel Estrin has been looking for some answers in Jerusalem.
Israel is the 100th smallest country in the world, and it's under constant threat from its neighbors. But it bears an impressive resume. It has the largest number of engineers, scientists, and PhDs per capita in the world. It trades more stocks on NASDAQ than any other country besides Canada and the U.S. Instant messaging was invented here, so was the USB memory flashcard. So all of this begs for an explanation. I asked the question to Nadav Kidron, the CEO of Oramed, a company introducing a new way of delivering insulin through a pill. What's the secret? Why are Israelis so successful at all of these breakthroughs?
Natural resources we do not have. With our neighbors to do business right now, it's going to take some time and only in the future. So I think the only resource that we have is really to use the brain power.
Baroness Susan Greenfield is a member of the British House of Lords and a scientist. She has another theory.
I think in Jewish culture there's a respect for education, which creates the right environment for the human brain to flourish and for individuality to really push itself to its limits.
Fred Worms, a British philanthropist, says it's in the gene.
We're under continuous persecution. You had to make way extra efforts to sustain yourself. Yeah, DNA conditioning, not over two or three generations, but over 2,000 or 3,000 years.
Israel is largely made up of immigrants, many well-educated professionals who left because of hardship in the former Soviet Union. A history of persecution, poor relations with the neighbors, doesn't sound like the makings of success. But psychologist and entrepreneur Ofer Grossbard says all this adversity forces innovation.
If everything falls in place and I'm not worried about the future, I have less motivation. I'll have less initiative.
Israeli President Shimon Peres has his own take on Israeli business smarts. He says Israel's innovation can be traced to one word, chutzpah, or audacity. In Jerusalem, I'm Daniel Estrin for Marketplace.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We're always interested in your thoughts. We invite you to visit marketplace.org and click on the link that says Contact. Thanks for joining us. It's Friday.
American Public Media.